show you. So here's what I want to do. So I want to go over, just kind of give you a general idea. You know, we're going to get over kind of the rating. You know, I've got a thing here. Actually, Sean, why don't you come over and grab this just so you can actually see what I'm about to give you later when you get home in a week, so I can get, you know, whatever. But that's what we got. So, I mean, I don't know if you know the value of what I just handed you, but.
I do. I can have this now?
No, I need it.
Oh, man. What a
I said when you get home in a week, I'll give it to you.
So you want those solo that I just ran that did so well yesterday?
They probably got them on here already. But the fact is, I'm going to show you guys some, you know, because we're going to really focus back, get, you know, he talked about what to do once the leads come in. You know, different things you can do with that, and we want to get back to this conversation of getting the traffic in with solo ads and stuff like that. Just wanted to do that. It's kind of a joke because he was talking about his Ferrari, so, you know, I didn't win my Hummer. I just bought it. Actually, funny story, I rented it for a little video. Somebody came in. I was like, shit, I can't be on, let people see me in this thing if I, you know, like borrowed it for a day from the thing. So I went out and bought it the next day because I felt out of integrity, so. Anyway, when I talk about radical different offers, this is what I'm talking about. To give you an example, now this is just an example to show radical difference just because I want you to visually see a radically different thing. And when I say radically different, what I talk about, this was actually an article marketing, you know, it was article marketing 2.0 or 1 or whatever. And that's the same exact thing. It's about article marketing. Two radically different look and feels. And that's what I talk about, radically different look and feels. Like, totally radical. Even though it's the same exact thing, it's radically different look and feel. And I can't actually, I think that one won if I actually remember that test. But when I split test radicals, I always start off with radicals when I'm doing it. Radically different look and feel, I'm going to get radically different results. So from there. Now,
the right one.
All right, so he gave you one solo ad buying site. I want to just give you a few, and then I'm going to go through my stuff. But if you are looking for solo ad buying like sites to kind of like give you an edge, there's a few. There's one that we actually buy from. Actually, on my list of solo ad providers, I have the original. If anybody's got my solo ad black book, all I had in there were just people you can go to individually. Actually, in this, my solo ad black book, which you guys are going to get your hands on, we actually buy from two different sets of people. We actually buy from, the first couple pages on there are individuals that we go to, click, and buy. And then on the third page in is all the Safe Swap people. We actually go and buy in from Safe Swaps too. So Safe Swaps is a great place to go to, and I think we got like three pages of Safe Swaps people we buy from. Just to give you a general idea, and on my newest version of my solo ad black book, I have a grade and I have a score. I'm going to go over what that means on here, and also I have the name of the individual, the grade they got, the score they got, the range in which you can buy traffic from. Just to give you an idea, you know, there's somebody on here from 100 to 1,000, 100 to 300, 100 to 2,000, 250 to 1,000, 500 to 4,000, 100 to 250. It just keeps on moving up and down. Looks like the highest one on here so far is 4,000. There's one guy who can deliver more than that, but his numbers are really low. Let's see. But basically, I mean, the average range in here is going to be from 100 to 1,000. However, there are some that go way past that. Unfortunately, at this thing right here, I don't think my assistant looked either. I don't know what happened. But it seems like some of these are missing. Either people didn't have their stuff in Safe Swaps to show how much they can get to, but we do have people that we, what the numbers are in there. We have a lot of the numbers. There's some numbers on a couple pages that actually didn't have the ratings, but you actually get to see the grades and the scores. So we did buy from them. We just, for some reason, the actual amounts you can buy aren't on there. I got to find out why, and it could be just she was looking in the wrong place. But the fact is, I do have this, in which you guys are going to be able to get your hands on later. But Safe Swaps is one place, and I think he talked about it, you know, from there. Another place is SoloChecker.com is one place. If you don't know about it, I believe this is really new or just came out like the other day.
This week.
Yeah.
This week.
It just came out this week. He hit me up when he found out about this, and he showed it to me, and he gave me access to it. So it looked pretty cool. It's very, very new. And the good thing is about you guys coming to this, and even, you know, it's funny because there's two different conversations that are going on in the marketplace right now. There's, oh, solo ads are dead, and then actually what I'm seeing is solo ads are actually starting to thrive more. It's kind of like I've been in this game since 1999. Email marketing's been dead many times. Article marketing's been dead many times. If you haven't figured out what really goes on in this market, the reason why things die is because they're going to sell you the solution. So that's really what happens. Gmail's, killing open rates or whatever. Yeah, no shit, because they're going to be putting on a seminar that's going to teach you how to do, how to make sure, because the answer is going to be there at my seminar, so make sure you show up. So they're going to scare the shit out of you so that you can go and get the answer at whatever, at their product, at their seminar, at their workshop, or whatever it is. So just understand that that's kind of how the market is. I mean, it's all about, that's what happens in marketing, and it's PR marketing, and that's the way it goes. You guys want to sell more? Scare the shit out of people. People buy more shit when they're scared as hell. Let's look at most of you guys probably weren't in the United States weren't around the United States at the moment when Y2K occurred. But when Y2K came out, guess what? More and more people started preaching about the fact that the world's about to end, all the computers are going to die. And guess what they were selling? They were selling these, generators, these gasoline generators, and selling a shit ton. I remember being in high school. I was in high school when it happened. I was going to go buy a shit ton of these just so I can put them on the market to sell the people that were scared of shit about the world ending. Canned food went like crazy. I mean, there was billions upon billions of dollars made because of this. Everybody's scared like hell. And then guess what? The day happened and nothing happened. So it's the same exact. Just think about Y2K when you start hearing people tooting their horn about the death of something, because it means the death of something which has the creation of something else they want you to buy. Like, that's what's really going on. So if you go out and you leave here and then you hear about people talking about solo ads dead, it's the fact of they've got the solution to the death of it, right? So, I mean, just look at the true reasoning for the marketing from it. I don't think they're going to die. I'm actually seeing it's more and more. I think, it's more and more getting better. But actually, what's happening is, and if you actually look at it, more quality control is coming into the market. Is really what's happening if you really pay attention to it, because there's no standards. Same thing. I mean, I remember when I started in email marketing. We used to just harvest emails, push send, and spam the shit out of people and make tons of money. Today you can't do that because there's more quality control factors. I mean, Can't Spam Act came out. This came out. So the bottom line is what I'm stating is that if you watch. But if you watch the market, but there's still a lot of things. There was nothing back then to stop you from sending. Now there's spam control and all that other shit. So, but the fact is, quality control is coming in a little bit more. So actually, I think it's only going to hold people a little more accountable. Most of the guys more accountable. There's some people that can still get away with it, because there's some crap out there. Actually, we were just discussing it about one person on here, which actually had a really low score because they're selling exit pop traffic, because they're selling old solo ads, but they're actually selling exit pop traffic, which isn't a true solo ad. So they're actually misrepresenting what they're actually doing. Solo ad traffic to me, like I said at the beginning of our time together, was somebody sends out an email, somebody clicks on a link, somebody goes to a page, that's solo ad traffic. Exit pop traffic is somebody goes to a page, leaves. That's exit pop traffic. It's not solo ad traffic. Really, it's more or less should be categorized as exit pop traffic, and that traffic is a lot more, cheaper. So solo ad checker is just coming out. That's another one. He actually asked if he can come talk. I said no. But for no other reason, it just didn't have time for him, or I would. Solo ad marketplace, which Sean just gave you, which is he just came out with. I'll be listing on there. I will tell you, I know Sean. Sean goes big or he goes home. So he's going to go big with this thing. And as he's going big with it, it's just at the infancy stages. So you can go on there, look at it, bookmark it, come back to it in about 30 days, and I guarantee you it's going to be night and day because he's going to grow that thing. He's already been talking to me about getting in some private chat rooms that I belong to be able to start communicating with a lot of the people. As soon as he gets access to this, he's probably going to be personally contacting them, or actually not him, his assistant will, and they're going to build this thing out. So it will get bigger. It's all in infancy stages right now. So that's another thing. So talking about rating and grading. Rating and grading, we have a rating and grading. I use rating and grading. So as a solo ads, as I purchase a solo ad, I go out, click on a link, I go to their page, I purchase the solo ad, I give them my PayPal information, I give them my PayPal email, my PayPal thing, I give them my email for them to send, I give them the link, the proper link. After that happens, after they deliver, then we rate and grade. We grade and score them. So basically, this is the this is how we actually do it. This is what my numbers are. It's pretty simple. If somebody delivers, we go by, I used it as a grading scale. actually in my school, I don't know if you guys have letter grades, but we do. And so the grades that I gave people, basically if they deliver within 3 days, I give them an A. If they deliver within 4 to 7 days, then I give them a B. If they deliver within C is what they deliver in 8 to 14 days. And if they go past 14 days, I give them an F. Now, I want to be clear that just because somebody's got an F does not mean I don't buy from them. It lets me know that, hey, I'm not going to be able to get this done in the next 2 weeks, probably, if I go back and buy from them again. I just got to adjust for that. And I just can't count on it being an instant kind of, I buy today, I'm not going to get it tomorrow. So if I'm looking for something today that I really need to get traffic to, and right now, then I have to go to my A's. Does that make sense? If there's something like, when I buy my monthlies, I don't care what you are ranked, typically. So I go through, now, if you're an F, as in never mail, I'm never going to buy from you, of course. But so I basically give them, in my grade school, we got A's and A pluses and A minuses. So the same exact thing I grade my solo ad buys on, the same exact principle. So therefore, if I give somebody an A plus, that means they over-delivered. So that means I bought 100, I got 160, kind of like what Sean showed you with the one he bought. He bought 100, he got 160. Well, if he bought it 2 days ago and they delivered within 2 days, he bought 100, he got 160 back, or 64 I think I saw. You just got an A+, because I bought 100, I got 160, you just got an A+. Now, if I bought 100 and I got 98, but you told me you were delivered, and that's when you tell me you're delivered. So if you tell me, it's like, hey, I buy today, tomorrow you deliver, and you send it, and I look at my stats, and see that you're five short, two short, I'm not going to complain about it. I'm just going to give you an A-. So I actually, that's how it works with me. If you under-delivered, then you get a minus sign. So you get an A-. And I may look at an A- personally, because I know my scoring system, which I'm going to talk about. I may look at an A- and say, okay, well, if my conversions are great, if you, slack off on two, I'm fine with that as long as my conversions. I just want to know what I'm dealing with here. I don't want to expect the world. Some people, I actually think in an ideal world, if I was a solo ad, if I was, a solo ad seller specifically like this, I'd actually do some solo ad stuff, but I believe you should over-deliver. To me, I would much rather deal with somebody that says, as long as they're upfront and honest about when they're going to deliver, and as long as they deliver and then they over-deliver a little bit. It bothers me when somebody comes in and then actually stops at the exact number. That, to me, kind of scares me. It really does. If you're above or below, if you stop at the exact number, there's something, you've got some mechanism in there, which I probably know what you're using, to do that. It means you're not, people can just stop it on a dime. That's fine, but that probably means that you didn't use my solo. I know you didn't use my swipe file, because you're not going to do that with my swipe file, because you're going to let it either overrun or it's going to under-deliver, and then you're going to have to mail again and be able to do it, which is actually going to put you over the top. So I kind of know who I'm dealing with if it stops at exactly. So if they get an A, I know I'm delivering with somebody that actually gets the game a little bit more than I want them to. It's really what I'm saying. I want somebody that's either has the position of let's over-deliver, or I'd rather deal with somebody that has the position of, like, hey, I'm new and this is what I'm doing to start off getting money. Because usually the newer guys are the ones that are using, you know, really cool generation, you know, articles, whatever they're doing, you know, on their list of, like, their mom, their dad, their, you know, everybody that's really excited about this whole idea. So, like, they're, like, the most hyperactive people. That's why, I mean, I kind of like the newer guys, you know, from there. But if you get an A-plus or an A-minus, you've under-delivered. My score is really simple. And this drives everybody nuts that I meet, but my scoring system is pretty easy. It's just whatever the opt-in rate is multiplied by 2. Well, and everybody goes, well, Matt, why won't you do just the opt-in rate? Well, that's fine, but like to me, like when I went to school, I got graded on a 100-point scale. So if I got 100 on a test, that means I got an A. You know, if I got 102, that means I got bonus points. You know, so I actually do that, and I did that based upon the fact that typical opt-in rates, you know, aren't really, you know, typically you're not going to see a 50% or, you know, 60% from all the vendors. So if they do go above 100, which means 50 times 2, so 50% conversion times 2, if they go above 100, then to me, I actually, for some reason, I can look at bigger, I like larger numbers anyway. So so I actually do it on a 100-point scale. So give you an example. If it has 30% conversion rate, and I multiply 2, that's actually 60. So when you're actually looking at the sheet, you actually see a score of 64, a score of 86, a score of 20, a score of 22, a score of 82, a score of 24. You just you divide that by 2, and you get the actual conversion rate. So this person, I got a 22% conversion rate. You know, this person, I got a 10% conversion rate. So basically what you're saying is even though they are B+, they delivered really fast, but they actually delivered shit traffic. You got this other person right here that got an F, but the number was 181. So you got an F, yeah, you didn't deliver within 2 weeks, but you know what? With that kind of thing, I'm like, I might want to deal with you a little bit more. Actually, I did go back and buy from them. You know, another one right here, they got a B+, and they got 102. So it's easier for me to see in my office, or what I tell my lady to do in my office, it's really simple. I say if the number's 60 or higher, go buy again. It's pretty easy for me to tell my team to do stuff. So when I designed the scale, I did it on a scale that I can actually go tell I didn't think about my team in sense. When I created the grading system, it was really like, how am I going to teach the Philippines, my team in the Philippines, to actually make smart decisions? So it was, hey, if you see a 60, you buy again. You mark on there how long it's going to, you know, if it's an F and a 60, that means that person did deliver, but they took them a long time to deliver. So we just know it's going to take a longer time, and plus we can actually have things hit in a certain, we can kind of just time things out when things are going out. That's why I have the grading scale and the rating scale. Rating allows me to know if I want to go again. You know, there's some in here, you know, there's some that are below. We got some, you know, 32s, 102, 88, you know. And they're all over the board. To me, and I will just tell you, you know, there's one thing somebody can analyze this and say, well, you know, I'd really like to, you know, you could really figure out, it would really be good to figure out what, you know, the cost per lead was and all that other stuff. To me, for me, I know what a lead's worth to me, and I guarantee you whatever the price is, it's going to be way small compared to what I'm going to extract out of it. So, and I'll actually show you what's going to be cool is you guys are going to see something that I've only shared with like a small group of my numbers, because I actually know my numbers really well, like so well. And you hear Sean talking, he knows his numbers, I know my numbers. Like when Sean and I actually sit down at the country club, our conversations are like, hey, what was your UPC on that offer? Actually, I just asked him that when we were outside. I was like, dude, you got any good offers that have high UPC? Yeah, you know, oh, how many clicks? I mean, when we got in the car, I was like, dude, how many clicks are you dropping now? Like, you know, like we're looking at how much clicks we can get. We're looking at what's our, you know, we never talk about how our subscribers are. We just care about how many clicks we're dropping. Like, subscribers are just doesn't really matter to us. I mean, yeah, it's going to help us, but, you know, subscribers don't equal clicks. You know, I can have a list of 10,000 people, and I have more as many clicks as I would have on a list of 100,000 people. So subscribers don't equal clicks to me either. Clickers is what I want to go. I mean, a real list to me is a list of clickers and buyers. A real list to me is not a bunch of, you know, subscribers and openers. You know, subscribers and openers don't equal money for me. You know, clickers and buyers do. So everybody gets the whole thing wrong when it comes to this. Everybody cares about stupid open rate. Well, I don't give a shit about that. I care about my click-through rate. Click-through rate is going to tell me more than anything else. So, because that's the only way that you can get to earnings per click. So and clicks are currency. So out there. So anyway, this is so this is kind of what the scale or what it is. You know, kind of give you a general idea. I do have on there. And so just to share with you, I do have this. And what I would like to do is unfortunately, here printing shops suck. So there's nothing open. So I try to get this thing printed, but I do have the actual file on my computer. I will actually email it to you guys, the file. So it'd actually be easier, so then you can just point and click and go. And you'll have all the data, and you can sort it any way you want. It's in an Excel file. Actually, I will show you the file, you know, just to prove it's on my computer. I'll get it to you. So here's the grading system. You know, this is what's in my hand. You know, so it's basically they're all scored, everything else from there. You know, throughout anybody, you know, all the stuff that we have on different people, it's all on there. So this is what's in my hand, which I will deliver to you, and I'll send it to your email box. I got everybody's email in here, but I will tell you, this is for the person that invested to come here, not the partner of the person coming in here, unless you guys are partners, like in a real business. And also, I'd like to kind of make an agreement that you guys don't put this on some black hat forum. You don't put this out there, because one day down the road, I'm going to sell this for myself. you know, but you guys are going to have the first ones to ever have access to this. And it's not, I mean, I spent a lot of money to do this. So you hand this out, you can fuck me over, and you're going to screw yourself, quite honestly, too. Well, you know, I don't know, but I mean, I've had my products all over the internet. People rip me off really quickly. People put it in their products, and then all of a sudden, you know, they beat me to the game, and they think that they have the rights to my shit. You have the rights. Only rights you have to this stuff is to use it for your own personal use. You don't have the rights to resell this. You don't have the rights to whatever. I mean, you could my grades and my scores are my grades and my scores. I'm handing them to you to make so that you make a better decision, and you can actually go in and, you know, buy. You know, I spent the money to get there. You just shortcut your way to making sure you make right better decisions. But it's not. Just so you can go out and sell my fucking information, quite honestly, because I will fly back here and kick your ass. I'll fly. I don't care if you're in. I'm actually heading to next week, October 5th. I'll be up in Manchester, so I will come down about that time to get you. So I think it's October 5th. I'll be there, and if not, I'll be here faster. I don't mind. I was actually here last week, just so you know. I flew home for 2 days. I flew back, so I'm not afraid to fly. And I just hit Diamond on my way here, so I've got free tickets.
And yesterday.
Yeah.
You suggested the declaration thing. That would be a good point to protect it.
Why don't you
send that NDA
first? Yeah.
Because you ain't going to fucking sign it. It doesn't matter. It's not like then I have to deal with an attorney to do it. I mean, look, here's the...
Yeah.
Look, remember I made the comment about on the Internet? Let me just tell you this, first of all. On the Internet and email marketing, clicks are currency. In my world, in my life, your word is the real currency. If you give me your word that you're not going to give this out, and then you go against your word, to me, your word is shit. So the only real currency in this world truly is your word. So if you give me your word, you do it, then guess what? Then I know what kind of man you are or woman you are. But if you give me your word, you know, if you gave me your word and you go do it, we don't need a fucking contract for that. I know who you fucking are.
Okay.
Answer. And I will fucking crush you. So, believe me, I know where some hackers are that'll take you down. I was once one.
That picture of that gun you showed us at the last
time. I have people that come to the States and get in my car. You know, I have inside of my Hummer. Actually, wait, you don't know what's in the back seat. You know, I've got tons of guns. I own like 280 acres of land. It's all paid off. But
did you call that gun again?
That one's the judge. Oh. But I can't bring the judge over here. I'll be meeting the judge.
Yeah,
somewhere around here. That's my favorite gun. This is my favorite gun. I don't know if it's in. I wonder if it is. It's not in there. I have it somewhere. But I do have. I have multiple different guns. I swear to God, people get in my car, especially from over here, and my friend from York came over, and I'm like, oh, open the glove compartment. All of a sudden, the gun drops out. He's like, what the hell? I was like, oh, go check the back. He was like, damn it. What the hell? You got guns everywhere. I was like, yeah, I don't, you know, it's like, I said, now this is an American asshole saying, I'm just going to tell you, and I'm going to say this and we're going to get back into it. So I've traveled the world. I have traveled all over speaking at different events. And what I've noticed is any country that was any country, all the countries that I go to that were actually controlled at one time by Britain, you know, typically a lot of them, like Australia, multiple different places that I go to, even in Singapore, still have the Queen on their money. And jokingly, I say this, and this is just a joke, but jokingly I say this, and it really pisses off the cab driver or whoever's driving me or whoever I'm telling this to. So I said, I noticed you have the Queen on your money. I said, it's funny. And I said, let me ask you a question. I said, are you allowed to have guns in your country? They're like, no. I said, exactly. See, here's the deal. I said, see, my country, we don't have the Queen on our money. So the reason is because we kicked their fucking asses out. And we still have guns, and you don't. So, and the reason for us having guns, I just joke around about it, but, we did fucking kick their asses out, so. But whatever, if it's, it can all be controlled in the conspiracy theory, and it could actually really still be controlled by the, whatever. I don't really care. It's just a fucking joke, right?
Did you say you use the judge for shooting snakes?
I use it for shooting rattlesnakes, yeah.
No, but I meant in this instance.
I can't get across the border, and I'm not going to test it. But anyway, but what I'm saying is, guys, keep this, all I'm asking is please keep it internally. And if there's anybody in here that disagrees with keeping it internally with you and your team, it's just you and your team. Don't be passing it around and forwarding it to people and stuff like that is all I'm asking, because this is like, I spent a lot of money to get this data. But I'm going to give you guys a shortcut. Cool. Is there anybody in here that disagrees with doing that? All right. Yeah.
Some of us won't be able to use it as well as you think anyway.
That's fine. I'm just checking my arm. I broke my shoulder, so I'm wondering if I can still throw a good punch. If not, my son is 6 years old, and I guarantee you he'll drop you. Except he'll hit you in a place you will not enjoy it if you're a man. And he's good. I taught him how to, because I tell him, you don't punch like a, he punches. He can move with it. His whole body moves when he does it. He's really good.
Is that the ninja software?
No. No, but the fact is, they are rated. They are graded. You could see it in here. You kind of get of ideas. Like, that's a 41% conversion rate on that guy. You can get, they have 1,000 or whatever. You can go in there. There's safe swaps. I have it broken up into two different forms. I have safe swaps and, yeah. So this one's a safe swap area, and then above safe swaps. So I broke it out to make your life easier. So if you choose to use safe swaps and buy through safe swaps, here is your safe swap status on the bottom. All the way at the top are people that you can go to, and you can buy from them directly, which is on there. Some of them, actually, some of these people, you can see you may have to have a Facebook account because they don't have anything. You've got to contact them personally on Facebook and talk to them like this person. And then you just contact them through Facebook. There's not many Facebook information in here. There's some things basically off the war forum classified ads. I will tell you this. You're getting the recent version. And the one thing, the reason I'll tell you, let's just go over, why is Matt doing this? Like, Sean asked if he could come and, whatever. He made an offer. I'm not making an offer at the end of this. My only thing that I am asking for you, I am asking and I'm not requiring. I'm going to give you this, and I'm giving this, and it's kind of like, I'm going to give you this, and one day I'm going to actually come out with a WSO, and I'm actually going to put it on the forum. And if you would be kind to come in and comment and say, hey, look, because this event's being recorded for one reason, I'm going to give you the recording of this event too, I'm actually going to either put it as an OTO, or what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to give it as a bonus along with this, and then sell this out there as a WSO. The trade-off is if you would, and you see that I come out, if you go there and be kind and just say, hey, Matt, I was at Matt's event, I really enjoyed it or something, say something kind, that would be really nice. If not, it's fine. It's not like I won't chase you down if you don't say anything. It's just a matter of, that's all, I want to put something out good, create some great products. I've made a lot of changes in my business. I still play the BizUp game, but I'm also, most of you guys don't know the shit that happened to me. I went through a lot of shit in the last couple of years, and it changed my life. So, things happen. So I built back. Things happened to me. So, and I wasn't allowed to actually really teach. So I have been out of the teaching for a while. I'm back in because I feel that there's, especially with the Warrior Forum and everything else, there needs to be some leadership, and there's lack of it right now. There's nobody in there. People are, every place follows a leader, and they're following the wrong leaders, I believe. There's a lot of different. I have some different beliefs on things. So anyway, I'm going to give you guys access. I give you guys this. You guys can have it. Just if you would, whenever I come out with it, which may be in a couple weeks, so you better go fast. No kidding. But anyway, that's going to be on there. So the big thing is that's my personal, you know, that's my personal black, I mean, personal black book, rated and graded. That's how I grade them. Just once again, if you didn't get the grading scale, the rating scale that I do use, that's what A means, that's what B means, that's what C means. Just so you have an understanding to read it. Then from there, the plus or minus, if it shows pluses and minuses, then you can see there's not many minuses on here, actually. They're mostly just like a flat up. I actually don't think there's minuses. And if you know somebody that's on there that got a bad grade and they want to get their gonna get regraded, just tell them to contact me and I'll let them that they have to send for free. So, and at least 1,000 clicks. I'm dead serious. I'm gonna write that in the WSO. It's like, you want to get regraded?
Most people don't know that too.
They don't, but they will after I sell it. So, so tell them that you contact Matt. He gave you a bad grade, but you can be regraded. Just, you know, you have to do some extra homework, which mail for free. I'm not paying you again to get regraded. So basically, it's opt-in rate times 2. Just to give you a general idea, so that's what the score is, 60. So if it's like, you know, 110, then you know it's 55% conversion. That's just, you know, you can figure it out by looking at the data in there. That's my personal solo ad black book, which you guys are going to get. You know, I could state this. What time is it right now? I can't use my phone.
Just standing up past 4.
Half past 4. Okay, cool. All right. So what I want to do is I'm going to talk about this, but I want to actually bring up something kind of – I spoke at the JVZoo event, and I'm going to go back in. I've got like 2 more slides pretty much left. What I want to do is, if it's cool, I want to share with you, like everybody wants – I'm going to share with you my presentation. It was a 25-minute presentation I did at JVZoo. I want to share with you guys that because I think it would be good to guys give you guys some really cool stuff. I went over 47 different tips that people could use, and then I'm going to come back in, and then I'm going to show you I'm going to actually show you my internal data, and then you know you guys can go and decide if you really want to play this game or not. But let me just show you. I know how to turn $100,000 into $2.4 million. I'll show you exactly what it is, but you've got to understand compound interest in order for it to make sense. But the fact of the matter is, over here. This is supposed to be my 20-minute slide at JVZoo that I did. So I just want to share with you guys this. So basically, those are crabs. So I'll tell you about that picture later, but first. And I did that because I knew there was people at the event that were going to come in, see something. And this, what I just did was I just kind of framed everybody, teased them about, hey, look, you got to, they're wondering, what the fuck is Matt doing with these crabs on this thing? So I'll tell you what it is in a second. But first, you got to pay attention, right? So if you guys do your presentations, I didn't give you guys a disclaimer, but just so you know, I just cuss and I say fuck and shit and whatever, and I really don't care. So, and I wear, actually, I'm in my socks, you know, and I actually spoke at JVZoo in my socks. Everybody's like, are you serious? Like, my feet freaking hurt, and I don't stand up. I've been sitting on my ass for the last 10 years, 15 years. So it hurts when I stand up. So I do cuss a little bit. And if you notice, I can't spell. You guys already figured that one out. And my grammar sucks, which I know I spelled grammar wrong. So I did that purposely. So anyway, these are 47 random tips for newbies, WSO sellers, copywriters, successful marketers, and people that think their shit don't stink. So it's pretty cool. I'll just go through these different tips. It's 47 of them. If you follow an idiot, you are an idiot. Pretty simple, easy thought. So I believe if you follow an idiot, you are an idiot. Don't follow eagles, follow back bank accounts. One of the biggest things, and actually these are tips for newbies, but you know, don't follow eagles, follow bank accounts. Actually I made a comment toward, alluded to that earlier. Buy your friends, it's faster and easier. When I met Sean, actually I'll just tell you, I bought my relationship with Sean. Actually he kind of bought his relationship with me before that, now to think of it, because he mailed for me unselfishly. Actually, Mark Joyner, I don't know if you guys know who Mark Joyner is. I actually did a workshop in Atlanta. Mark Joyner was one of my students that sat in my room. Actually, many of the biggest names in the market used to come and go through my stuff. You know, I've trained Mark Joyner. I mean, I remember, actually, Simpleology was created in my course, in my class. Yes, it was created in my class. Actually, a 12-year-old kid wrote the first headline for it in my class. You know, Mike Littman, I started Mike Littman, he's asleep on my floor. You know, if you know Russell Brunson, I fixed his business and made him a rock star. Tomlin Knutson, the same thing. Like, I mean, nobody hasn't heard from me in the last 6 months, over 6 years, but I was one of the guys everybody used to come to. Then I kind of disappeared off the map, came back in. There's some reasons for that. But anyway, but when I met Sean, I was running, I was doing about $3 million a year. Sean was doing about $10 million a year. I had 46 employees. He had three. I said, what are you doing? I moved. I sold my house, sold all my stuff, moved into his neighborhood, and said, all right, we're friends. So I bought my friends, and I bought my high school friends, or my high school friends I bought with beer. My college friends I bought because I was in a fraternity. And I still belong to a few societies today, which I buy friends. So not going to get into those. But they say we control the world and all the other stuff. But the fact is, tip number four for newbies is just be yourself. One of the things that I see when people make the biggest mistake is they get out of their way. They're trying to copy somebody else and look at in somebody else's style. Sometimes that, you know, you got to be yourself. You got to understand to follow success, but also you got to understand to be yourself. The other thing is, follow your gut, follow your intuition. A lot of times it's really good. However, I will say sometimes marketing concepts are counterintuitive. You know, what I believe to be true isn't always true. That's why I test. But follow your gut and follow your intuition is a big thing. A lot of guys, especially newbies, I say don't fake it, make it. You know, like a lot of guys try to fake it. When I started online, I created my first newsletter was called Millionaire Minutes. I used to actually work with Kiyosaki. Actually, I was with Kiyosaki's organization a long, long time ago. And actually, Robert Kiyosaki and Tony's son is one of my best friends. I used to work with them years ago. I was the number one biggest Cashflow 101 facilitator in the world. Actually, when the game came out first, Cashflow 101, and then the book came out next because I couldn't sell the game. They couldn't sell the game, so they came out with the book. The book's purpose was to sell the game. Most people don't get that. They buy into the bullshit. By the way, Rich Dad's not real. All right, so the next thing is if you're consistent, you're non-existent. If you're not consistent, you're non-existent. And what I mean by that is if you actually notice anything that I do in my business, I'm always consistently always doing it. I have a lot of people that I see in the marketplace to go do something. It works. They leave. I always find something that's successful, and I'm like a dog, you know. I just hold on to it as long as I can until you try to rip me off. Pull me off. From there, if you're not consistent, you're not consistent. Go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. I think this is one thing for a lot of people to actually understand. It's kind of weird. Like, some people try to belong to groups when it's like you're just ousted out. It's actually amazing what's happening right now. I've kind of moved over to the WSO world. It seems like I thought I was going to be tolerated over there, and I've been really celebrated. I've done only two WSOs in my life in the last 4 weeks or 5 weeks. I broke over 1,000 sales both times, and I hit WSO of the day within 4 hours each time, or within 6 hours each time. So, I mean, and I didn't know any of it. I didn't know Mike Lance until I just went to the event. So it was like, to me, it was like, wow, I'm really celebrated over here. This is really cool. So it's one of those things what I talk about is go where you're celebrated, not where you're tolerated. Especially for newbies, don't buy golden turds. I mean, we sell them. That's fine because, you know, I'm not married to the stuff I sell. But I will say just don't buy golden turds because you'll be chasing down the wrong. It's just not fun. The other thing is don't be afraid to fail. Fail fast. The faster you fail, the faster you'll be successful. And I fail as fast as I can. I mean, actually, last night I was talking to a guy that was in this room that's a pretty big marketer. I was trying to keep his name down. He made a comment to me. He said, hey, here's a really good strategy. Guess what I did? I went up to my room, and I was up there. I've already implemented. I was actually showing him the results while we were sitting there. I'm fast to implement. I'm fast to fail. I'm really quick to do it because I will fix it as fast as I can. I never look for reasons why things won't work. I always look for things reasons will. When I look at something, I said, how am I going to make this work? I never look at why won't this work. I don't ask myself that question. That question never comes to my mind. If there's a failure that happens, if I go buy a solo ad, it doesn't work, guess what? It just means, I take blame for it. I said, you know, what did I do? How can I fix this? Maybe it's my, I start analyzing it, figure out how I can make sure it works the next time. I don't stop. I just keep on going. And it's been one of the things for my success. Money in motion creates more money. I'm going to show you my thing, and this will actually make more sense once you understand compounding interest. But money in motion creates more money. That's really important for you to understand. One of the biggest problems, one of the biggest things I actually was number 100 people to ever use a company called Infusionsoft. Actually, I used to speak with Fusion. Actually, I used to, years ago, I used to speak. It was me and Jay Cronin Livingston. I used to speak east-west all over the world, all over the United States. With for Infusion, we used to bring people in and help them grow. And so Jay and I did that. But the one thing is, Jay always said to me, he said, take 20% of your income and always reinvest it back in marketing. Take 20% income and always reinvest it back into marketing. And that's one thing that I've never forgotten and I've always done, because it allows me to accelerate. Because the marketing is, and lead gen is, the lifeblood of my business. I never stop doing it from there. Understand compounding interest. This is going to make more sense once I show you what I'm about to show you. Understanding compound interest. Just give you an idea. I know you guys have pence here, or I think that's what you call it, but we have pennies. You guys already understand the different concept. But what happens when you double a penny every day for 30 days? Now, if you actually look at this and we actually figure this out, if we take one penny, we double it every day for 15 days, that one penny turns into $163. If we actually take that, and if we take that and we move it, after 30 days, that one penny doubled every day for 30 days actually turns into over $5 million. See, one of the things that most people forget about when you are building your list, and that's why I like to focus building my list, as I keep on doing that, I'm building and building and building up. Now I'm increasing my clickers. I mean, I'm always reinvesting back in, and it allows things to start compounding really big from there. So, but the point of the thing is, there's quite a big difference once you look at it, as if you would be getting over $5 million with a penny a day doubled every day for 30 days route. The number one biggest failure that I think that most internet marketers make, or anybody, people that are launching, you know, I've done many million-dollar launches. I just don't share my numbers, actually. Any numbers, well, it doesn't matter. It's true. Every number that I've ever heard on a launch that anybody's ever done, even the guys that claim they're the launch gurus, and they sell $1,000 products, I actually outsold, guarantee you, brought home more money on a $37 launch than they ever did on a $1,000 product launch. Just saying, I mean, think about it. I really did have over 2,000 affiliates sell for me on a product launch, and I've never revealed my numbers, and I never will, but I will tell you that I did take 2 years off and paid off everything I have, 280 acres of land, everything. I don't have any debt. I get to play this game for fun. So, but anyway, so it is something that's like starting a business. It's kind of like one of those things to think about is like starting a rocket ship. And if you actually think about a rocket ship, as a rocket ship goes into space, and you know, taking off into space, you spend about 80% of all your fuel, and maybe fuel could be your energy or money or whatever it is, basically taking off. But once you reach a certain point, then it smoothly flies with minimal consumption. And that's why we invest a lot of time and energy at the beginning, and then we can just take off. And a lot of guys really do it, make things happen from there. Google changes their algorithms, like you should change your underwear. So stop whining and start buying traffic. I personally never met an internet millionaire that really made all their money, or actually made millions of dollars from free traffic. I've never met them. Maybe there's this 1% out there, but every guy I know, they sell it, and they'll tell you to go buy it, but they've never really used it to make their millions. They used most of the guys I know all made it through email marketing. Actually, every guy I know almost makes it through email marketing from there, if not launches. Don't trip over the pennies on the way to the dollars. That's a big thing. These are some things I just say in my head just to help you guys with some things. Don't trip over the pennies on the way to the dollars. You know, even like this, you kind of look at these, some of these, you know, there's a, you know, a few pennies off or whatever. You know, you go for guaranteed things. Understand the law of large numbers, kind of what I talked about earlier, which is a statistical term that assumes that the number of the sample increases. The average of the samples, you know, as the number of samples increases, the average of the samples is likely to reach the mean of the whole population. I think this is really important. One of the biggest things for me in my acceleration was when I went out and hired an assistant. You know, because if you think about this, I charge $20,000 a day. I mean, I really get it. I've been getting it since 2006. So if somebody wants to spend a day with me, I say $20,000. If they want to spend an hour on the phone with me, it's $2,000. It is. People pay it. Whatever. And it all started from the fact that I just didn't want to do the shit. And then I just kept on raising my prices up. People kept on paying the damn thing. So I'm fine with $20,000. I was thinking about raising it to $50,000, and I still actually had people that offered it. I feel more comfortable at 20. It's just, I just feel the most comfortable, and plus at 20. Plus, I actually get more at 20. Actually, I don't know if you guys have ever done that. I get a lot more. I'm actually booked like twice a month for $20,000 days. From there. But it was when I made my big leap, and if I'm worth $2,000 an hour, why should I be doing $5 an hour work? That's the way I look at it. If my time is truly that, and the easiest way to look at this, take all the money you make, especially if you're making money online, take all the money you make, you know, divide it into, you know, how many hours you work a week, and really figure out how much your time is worth, and then say, well, shit, I make this much money, why don't I hand some of the stuff off if I can give it off to the Philippines? That's why actually everything touches me, I figure it out, I hand it to my person in my office, they get it down. I don't want to go talk to the Philippines people. I want to go in there when shit goes wrong, then I walk in. But I don't want to deal with all that stuff. I don't want to deal with a $3 an hour employee. I don't need to talk to them. It's a waste of my energy. So my people that I pay, you know, $10, $15 an hour, whatever I pay them, they go talk to the $3 an hour person. My time's not worth that. I don't want to talk to those people. They're, you know, to me, it's just different. So the fact is, don't be a one-man show. Understand opportunity costs. I think Sean hit on this. With the opportunity cost, like every day you don't mail, every day you don't go out and buy a solo ad, every day you don't do something is a day that you lose money. And so that's a really important thing. Every day you don't mail, you lose money, which is 18. 19, you know, a money-making list. I said this earlier, actually. A money-making list has clickers and buyers, not openers and subscribers. It's a bottom line there. If you want to make more money, increase your click line. We talked about the click line a little bit earlier. Basically, you have a line, you know, have your click line, your consistent clickers, or, you know, if you average out your clickers, you have people that bob up and down that are clicking, you have people that get on your list, they get the freebie, whatever you're offering them, and they get the hell off. It's going to happen. Don't cry about it. Don't whine about it. I only look at three numbers when it comes to this game, especially email marketing: subscribers, clicks, and EPC. Those are the only three things I care about. The only reason I look at subscribers is because I know I monitor my subscribers coming in, and I actually monitor them on a daily basis to make sure that I'm increasing my click line. I monitor my clicks on a daily basis because I want to know if Sean just tells me, hey, this is a great offer, it's doing $1.20 a click. Well, I know that I'm 20 cents higher than John in every single offer that I ever mail on statistical average. So if Sean tells me something's $1 a click, then I know I'm going to make a $12.20. I just know my numbers and I know his numbers versus my numbers, and I know exactly what it's going to be to me. If Sean says, hey, I'm mailing an offer, it's doing 50 cents, then I know I'm going to come in at 70 cents. I just know it because I've been dealing with them enough, and I know my clicks, so all of a sudden in my head I said, if I mail that offer, I'm going to make X dollars. That's what's going through my head on a daily basis. All I'm doing is think about numbers. Sean was talking about numbers. I think about numbers. But the whole goal for me in email marketing specifically is raising the click bar to get more subs. So the big thing is don't cross the line. Here's a big thing. I think this is really important for people to understand. I was talking to Kern about this. He didn't get it. I did a huge launch. He hit me up. He said, Matt, why didn't you ask me to promote your launch? I would have done it for you. I said, no. I said, you're on the other side of the line. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, well, I got to tell you something. I came up with this whole idea. I said the whole thing is that the market's built. I said, every market's divided into three different areas. You have the pures, you have the hybrids, and you have the biz ops. Now, the fact is, I said, you are on the pure side of the game. There's a line which goes across the top. That line across the top, if you're building a list, if you build a list in the hybrid area, what BizOp pure, a BizOp is one of those, hey, push this button, you're going to make $1 million in a second. That's pure BizOp all the way down the bottom. Then you have another guy that says, hey, look, you can start a coaching business, you're going to work your ass off, make phone calls, you're going to do this, work 30 hours. That's a pure offer. A hybrid is a mixture of the both. All right. I choose to play in the hybrid area because a hybrid can actually move to both sides of the game. Now, a biz op cannot market a pure offer. This is where everybody makes the mistake. And if you wonder why, hey, my shit's not working, these guys mail my stuff, people go, oh, I mailed this and it's not going to work. Well, the reason it's not going to work is because you crossed the line. You know, basically, a pure, let's put it in the weight loss area, just to give a really clear understanding of how this idea is. So if this is a weight loss, get us in the weight loss niche. If we're in the weight loss niche, and a pure weight loss niche thing would be this. You're going to have to get up every morning and go for a mile jog. You're going to have to eat right, and you're going to have to, you're going to have to work your ass off and sweat your ass off. I mean, you want to lose weight, then eat right and work out. And it's really fucking simple, quite honestly. And it's what people know they need to do, but guess what? People don't want to do it, or if they, that's pure. That's a pure talk conversation. The biz op is the guy that says, hey, look, here's this magic, these magic pills in this thing. You take one, you're going to lose 100 pounds every time you take a pill, right? That's the side. You, if you have a list that's a pure list and you cross the line to the biz op list, then you're going to have the highest bitch rate you ever thought you were going to have. And you're going to be dealing with it. You'll sell a shit ton of it, but you're going to have people pissed off and you're going to have crazy complaints. A biz op guy tries to mail a pure offer, it's not going to sell. It's just not going to work. You cannot cross the line. As soon as you cross the line, you cross it, because it's a message market mismatch is really the true thing. It's actually a subscriber offer mismatch is really what we're looking at. But that's what people don't understand. You know, I like to stay in the hybrid so that I can move to the pure. This is a pure conversation. You guys are here, solo ad. You know, I could call this like, make money, the fastest way to make money sitting on your ass workshop. And that is, a hybrid lower towards a biz op thing, and then teach everybody about solo ads. But I call this thing solo ad profits. That moved this thing to the pure. So, this is a more of a pure thing. This isn't like, down the road, the traffic, magic money workshop or whatever the hell it's called. But the fact is, and pures are different types of people. They are more in the top. We talked about the list being 90% newbies. Well, I put you guys more in the class of the 10%ers. Now, in the 10%ers, just so you guys know how the 10% crowd works, I want you to be clear on this. Because, in a sense, you can kind of identify yourselves coming here. My list, only 10% of my list would even be interested in this. There's three types of people in the 10% club. Actually, it's 6, 3, and then 1. 6% of those people have bought a lot of shit, know a lot of shit, but they ain't done shit. They just think they do. When you go talk to them, you're like, man, you are the fucking smartest guy in the world. And then actually you find out the results, they ain't done shit. And then you're like, God dang, that guy, he knows a lot. He's never done shit. That's the 6%. Then of there you got the 3%. 3% are actually out there going and doing stuff. They're going and doing stuff. They're making some money online. They're in the making. They're really doing it. They actually grab something that we talked about today. They actually go and do it. Then you have the 1%ers. There's some 1%ers in this room. The 1%ers are going out there. They're either they're making hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars online. That's how the whole world's broken up. There's people that believe in their mind that they actually really know what the hell they're talking about, and they're on these lists and they think, oh, I'm advanced, when they're actually not. They haven't done shit. How can you be advanced if you never implement anything? True knowledge comes through implementation. It does not come through reading the fucking book. So from there. So that's kind of how that works. The truth, and when copywriting, I'll just tell you, when I'm writing copy, some of you guys are asking about headlines, some of you guys are writing about things. What I have found always helped me when I write copy. I actually got back into writing my own copy. Actually, I have found if I do a biz op offer, I can't write the copy. I got to hire that shit out because I just can't write it. I cannot get copy out of myself being like, hey, this is a whiz bang, make some money, push these buttons. I just can't do it. Like, it sickens me, honestly. But I know that it works. I have lists that do it. I just can't. I just can't touch it. But I know it sells like hell, so there are times I have people that write the copy for me. But when I am writing copy, what I've always found is the easiest way to write copy is just tell the truth. It's like, I swear to God, I just write the truth down. Here's the truth, what I really want to say. Then I go back and find some magic words that will actually make it real right, like sound better, but I just write the truth out, and then I take the truth, and all I'm doing is just making it, using magic words to make it sound better, like, hey, you'll discover how to do X, Y, Z. It took me, I don't know if you guys know this, but actually I was here in London last Thursday night. I sent an email over to the other event and said, hey, I'm not coming. I made up, said I'm going to do this event, like last Thursday night. I wrote the copy before I got on the plane to go back to London. I came back, home in Atlanta. I got home, I passed out, woke up the next day on Tuesday. I sent the copy over to my assistant and said, please read it for, grammar and spelling errors. I fixed it, and then the next day, actually, I think I sent an email, and then that's how this whole thing came out. I did this in 2.5 days, and I wrote the copy.
Huh? Why aren't you supposed to be here today?
I was supposed to be over there, yeah. I canceled to be with you because I have nothing to sell, and I don't want to go. So, but I'm not. It's easier for me to write a full day presentation or figure out a full day than it is an hour and a half, and it's really hard. So, but the truth will set you free. You don't split test. A lot of times people don't split test. They optimize. And what I mean by that is what I was talking about, the radical different things. To me, that's true split testing, radicals from there. You know, I tell everybody, don't break the rules, which is back here. Break the rules, not the law. You know, and when I say rules, I'm talking about the rules that people placed in your mind that aren't true rules. Like a lot of guys say that this is the way things are supposed to be done. Well, I'll just tell you, I've been around this internet to know that everything, what most people don't realize, I was, you know, and some of you guys might have been there, but I remember the day the opt-in page came out. I remember, you guys, actually, here's some bullshit that you guys actually want to know the truth on. So you guys know those videos? You guys have videos online, and then you see that thing that pops up underneath it? Like that where the buttons pop up? You know, I created that in my basement with my programmer, and then somebody actually, I showed it to somebody, and they went and actually ripped it off and actually went and sold it all and said they were the creators of it, and actually it had lines of code, my code in there, so we knew it was mine. You know, like a lot of times, you know, it's like people believe this bullshit. If you're told something long enough, and if people get loud enough and talk about it long enough, everybody believes it to be true, when the fact is, you know, perception is reality until you find the truth. So just realize that. You know, like, there's a lot of shit on the internet, like, you believe to be true because somebody said it long enough and loud enough to you, but what happens if the person that started it was wrong the first time? So that's why I test everything, because I don't believe anything to be true. So, you know, from there. So, to sell more, I believe, to sell more, one of the thing is you got to empathize. Empathy is one of the most powerful things you could ever add in your stories. Empathy is the most powerful thing you get on your sales letters. Empathy is one of the secrets to my launch success, adding something in there and adding elements of story. Let me see. Actually, let me show you. Let me give you an example. I grabbed the wrong one. What number were we on? Thanks. See, 26. Here we go. 24 transitions. Empathize more. So that's 25 here. I must have added in one for my clients. All right, so here's what I mean by that. And let me give you an example of the story. So this is the only thing missing out of the other one. So let me just give you an example by telling you guys a story what I'm talking about here. So this is about a man who had huge success, who made his first $1 million right out of college, who then built that into a thriving business and a lifestyle most people dream about. He had 15 thriving companies making multi-million dollars a year, every year, a big house, his own private airplane, and a happy family, and the belief that nothing could be taken away from him. Until one day in December of 2008, he heard a knock at the door. Two men in black suits and badges stood in front of him. And then they said the five words that can terrify even the strongest person. We're with the Internal Revenue Service. They came into his house. They sat him down. They told him that they were with the Criminal Investigation Division. They began to ask him questions. Questions about his business, questions about his finances, his associates, his family. He answered whatever that they asked until finally he said, "Why do you want to know all this?" They said, "We can't tell you that." He went back to him. He said, "Well, have I done something wrong?" They said, "We can't tell you that." He said, "But if you just tell me what I did wrong, what this is all about, I'll do whatever I can to fix it. But I've got to know what I did. We can't tell you that." He said he finally realized that he better shut up, get an attorney before that he said something wrong, said the wrong thing. He asked them to leave. They said, "Fine." They said, "But you should know that our investigation can result in you ending up in prison for over 5 years." So he hired a big-time tax lawyer. Then one of the top auditors in the country, who combed through all his company's books. Neither of them could find anything wrong or any clue as to what brought the IRS down on this guy. Over the next several months, his life became a living hell. Concentrating on anything was almost impossible. His wife was close to a nervous breakdown. His kids didn't know why things at home had changed, and every day he wondered if this was the day he'd be carted off the prison. And then one day in April, a letter arrived. When he saw the IRS logo on the envelope, his hands started to shake. And it says right here, this is from the IRS, the Washington, D.C., in April 2009. It says, "You are no longer subject to criminal investigation by this office regarding the federal tax liabilities. However, this does not preclude your reentry by criminal investigation into this investigation." He showed this letter to his expensive attorney, who then said, "In all my years of practice, I only ever seen two of these. What you have here is a golden ticket. With this, you can get out from underneath the entire ordeal." However, he said, "This is not a get-out-of-jail-free card." He said, "They can come after you again anytime they want, with no warning, no explanation, than you got this time. The question is, are you willing to do whatever it takes to make sure that nothing happens to you and your family again?" And then he replied to him, "Of course, I'll do anything." Then the lawyer said, "You're going to have to," he said, "You're going to have to lose everything. You're going to have to bankrupt all your businesses, cut all your business ties." He said, "And stop doing whatever you've currently doing. You can't associate with anything the IRS has been investigating for the next 2 years." He said, in other words, "You're going to have to start all over from nothing." So this was not what he wanted to hear. He was mad, he was depressed, and he was scared, but he had no choice. He said to the attorney, "Just under one condition." He said, "I'm not going to leave my merchants and my employees holding the bag no matter what." So dipping in his own pockets, he paid them everything. That year, into December 2008, he ended up doing over $30 million with all his companies. But dipping in his own personal pocket, he paid everything that he owed to them. He bankrupted all 15 companies. He handed over his private airplane to the government and said goodbye to his wealth, his career, and his livelihood, and he was free, but he was broke. One more thing you should know, that guy was me. So that's why I haven't been back for the last 6 years, because I really couldn't get back in the marketplace and I haven't done events. But a lot of things, what I'm doing now is I'm actually going back into the WSO world, starting to do a lot more stuff. That's why I'm coming out with more products, and you're actually seeing me really take over back into the pure world. I moved from the pure all the way down to the BizOt world. Now I'm playing the hybrid world. I'm coming out with a lot more products, and you guys are being part of one of my products that I want to create to help the community. So just so you know, like, there's been a lot of stuff that's going on with me. I lost everything. Actually, when I say I lost everything, I wasn't allowed to do anything. I wasn't allowed to use any of my vendors that I ever touched for two years was the agreement when I got rid of all my companies. I had to start all over from scratch, meaning I can never use any hosting account, any company. I moved over to, I never took any money from ClickBank, so that's why I moved straight to ClickBank first thing. Then I took 2 years on ClickBank. After 2 years on ClickBank, then I finally did a launch on ClickBank. I wasn't allowed to create my own product, because I felt that was going to be something I did before. After 2 years, I created my first product. That first product I put on there, I ended up hitting, broke the gravity record on ClickBank. Then went off and started doing everything else. After that, I actually took about 2 years off because I just hit the lottery, or whatever you want to call it. Took off, tried to figure out who the heck I was and what I was about. And now I'm back, and now I'm actually building really, 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 really hard because I choose to. But the entire story is absolutely true. In 2008, the IRS did come after me, even though to this day they never even found anything that they missed in any of my businesses, and they never even said what this they were investigating. And I tell you the story because I wanted you to know that, when I lost everything, when I gave everything away, really walked away from it, not by choice, but kind of by choice, I was where many of you are right now. With the burning desire to take care of my family, to create a good life, and to have a nice home and to my kids. When this all happened, I went over to Sean's house because I was still living in my own house. I had three houses at the time. I had all my expenses. I didn't have anything coming in. I gave all my money away. I paid off all my affiliates, paid them personally. I just did a huge launch that year. Actually, if somebody might remember, it was a really controversial one, but I actually did a launch where I sold my newsletter and got retired one of my events, and it was a Matt Basak Retired, the retirement event. Ended up bringing in 15,987 customers in less than 7 days at $30 a month. All that reoccurring income just went away. It was a $300,000 a month reoccurring income stream. Gone. Everything. My life was just done. But I had to get back on my feet. So what did I do? Before I got into split testing. That's why I'm so advocate about telling you guys split testing, because I figured out I didn't have any money. All I had was credit cards. Nothing. I mean, I literally went to people I owed money to. I said, "You're going to go get it from the government, or you can go get it from me right now. What do you want?" And I wrote checks to people. I did not fuck a single soul. I lost everything. Like, when I say, all my money was gone. So I had to get good, and I knew one thing, building my list. First thing I did, I started building my list. I went to Sean. I said, "Sean, you're doing $10 million a year with three employees. How the hell are you doing it?" That's why Sean and I have such a great relationship. He was the only guy I told. Nobody knew this shit happened to me. I hid it so well because I was already getting beat up on the internet by people. I went and just basically I took care of everybody I had to take care of. I didn't screw a single soul. That's why nobody heard about it. And I just left. I was gone. And Sean showed me the game about, you know, the game and how he was playing it, how to build, you know, I was already building lists, but he showed me some pieces of the game. We got in a CPA together. We started building lists within, now that was in April, from April to the end of the year. You can look at my tax returns. I ended up doing $2.6 million just by building my list and sending emails. So, I mean, I'm just saying that, like, if anybody's in here that's newer, you can really make a lot of money, but you just got to work your ass off to get there. And once you do it, it's on straight autopilot, like I was talking about, that consumption. So, but anyway, that's the thing on there. Now, what I did in that story, just so you guys know, and it's all 100% true, there was nothing, no fabrication or bullshit in that thing. But what it is I actually followed a thing called the Hero's Journey. And if you guys don't know anything about the Hero's Journey, it's something that would really tell you guys to get into or to understand, to realize what it is. The Hero's Journey is a thing. You guys probably heard of Harry Potter. You probably heard of Star Wars. Let me give you an example of this. Luke Skywalker, you guys all remember, who does not know about Star Wars in this room? Okay, good, so then we get it. So Luke Skywalker is an orphan living with his uncle and his aunt in a remote wilderness of Tatooine or whatever. Think about this. Harry Potter is an orphan living with his uncle and his aunt in a remote wilderness called Suburbia. Luke is rescued from aliens by wise, bearded Ben Kenobi. Harry is rescued by moguls, by a wise, bearded Hagrid. All I'm saying is there's a formula that's actually in our DNA as human beings. One of the things I did for the last 2 years is try to study and understand how people control other people. That's why I say these things like, you know, we're here and it's kind of weird because you guys live in, like, more history than we do in the United States. One of the times I was here, I went to Windsor Castle, and I'm walking into a pub with a guy, and I said, damn, I said, this thing's older than my country. And he was like, what? I was like, oh, shit. He was like, I never thought of it things that way. I'm like, dude, you know, like, you have no idea the history. But one of the things I did is I went on a big, huge history studying of history, studying of culture, studying of religion, understanding how people controlled other people, especially the masses. And one of the things that I discovered is, if you guys look at the Knights Templar, you know, this big around here or whatever, but the Knights Templar, not of today, the Freemasonry, I'm talking about the Knights Templar of the 1400s, when they were taking the pilgrims back and forth and all that stuff. You know, they stayed in King Solomon's Temple, and I read all these stories, and I started following all this stuff and understanding it. And one of the things that most people don't know is when they were in King Solomon's Temple, well, what was once King Solomon's Temple, when they were in there, they put them inside this room. That's where they stayed, inside this room, and inside that room, story has it that they ended up discovering, you know, different things about different religion. Everybody kind of started, that's when they became more powerful than, you know, and they built the everything. They became very, very powerful at that time. Kings and queens were pissed off, especially the King of France, and everybody else was pissed off at them because they became more and more powerful. One of the things, and I just want to share with you, like, I thought was, like, the moment I read this thing, it was like, holy shit, this says everything to me. Everything I truly believe, and kind of what I've been saying to you guys for this whole thing. And the thing that I read was the Knights Templar had a motto or had a saying after that moment, and it was this: nothing is true, everything is permitted. And when you get that, you get it. And when you get it, you understand that nothing is true, everything is permitted. People permit things in their mind to be true, even if you believe, you know, it's like, you know, at the moment, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in a fearful state or where something like, you know, your life is ripped away from you. But every morning you wake up, you feel the water. You know, it's like you have these beliefs in your mind of this like shit that you just think that the world's, I mean, my wife and I'll tell you during that time, we call it the apocalypse now. That's our joke in our family. It sucked during the moment, but now we just call it the apocalypse. I said, oh, yeah, when the apocalypse came, you know, my wife and I were we would be in our clothes, and the only way my wife and I would talk, because they monitored my mail for 6 months. I didn't know that. They were telling me about shit about me. I had no idea. They were telling me stuff about my family, like how the hell did I become this, like, millionaire, multimillionaire, when my family doesn't come from a long line of, there's no money in my family, like heritage back and back. They knew all this stuff. And so they didn't understand it. I said, I just figured out how to make money on the Internet. You know, it was like, how did you do it? I said, I don't know. Just do it, you know? Like, I don't know. But, you know, my wife and I, the only way we would talk, because we were so freaking scared, we had all this bullshit in our head thinking, like, you know, they tapped our phones. Like, we didn't know. You know, we would go in the shower, turn on the shower just to talk. Like, I mean, that's how scared we were. You know, for 6 months of living hell, I can't tell you what we went through. You know, I say nervous breakdown. It's kind of like a fucking. But my wife wanted to commit suicide on me a few times. It was scary. It was like the most fucked up moment of my life. It's part of me, but it's like that's why I get when that one part because it's like your wife wants to. She thought she fucking did it. Fuck! Why did I do that? Okay. So anyway, but the fact is, and that is still fucking with me. But anyway, so here's another one. Let's change the subject. Don't be a pussy. And run from the forum because you're afraid of getting your feelings hurt. There's a lot of guys out there that are moving over to a different platform, and they're afraid to actually do real WSOs, like where they actually put it on there, because they're afraid to get their feelings hurt, and actually they don't know how to manage the forum. Let me tell you some tricks on the Warrior Forum if you're actually doing WSOs. When you are posting a WSO, a lot of people don't realize that you can set the tone of the conversation. Now, I've been bashed a lot online. Like, guys have beat the shit out of me. You can go read about me and everything else. Half the shit's not even real. But some of the shit, I mean, some of them have justified points, I understand. But the fact is, you can go there, and a lot of people don't understand when you are communicating with, you know, the tone sets it. If people know, if you go in and you post some good posts, so I want you to go post some good things, and then, you know, somebody if somebody comes in, how you handle that, and if you can set new posts underneath that are positive, you can keep a positive light on the whole thing. Even though some negative come in there, you can still keep the positive light and change it. And a lot of guys don't understand how to control, I mean, how to help communicate on the forum. But WSOs are really good ways to sell. Brass balls. Grow some brass balls. It's really important. You know, get out of your comfort zone and make it happen. Don't be a douchebag when getting people to promote your products. Basically, what I'm talking about, I'll show you. And I earned the right to say douchebag because I was actually a social media douchebag. I was dug more than anybody else. You know, I was on Twitter, actually. I sent an email to my list years ago, and I mean, right when Twitter came out, Facebook came out, and Twitter, but I got like 5,000 friends in like a day. Back then, it was like really cool. Like, I just sent out an email, and I got all these people as my friends. By the way, I lost all my list, too, just so you guys know. Like, all my shit went away. Like, I had to start all over. Funny thing about that, which most people don't realize, the government, when after the bankruptcy, they gave me my list back after about 6 months because they said it was not valuable. Had no value. I was like, they said, I can go. I forget what you call it. There's a thing that they call it, but they actually abandoned it. That's what they said. They gave it back to me. Like, didn't give it to me, but I could go get it. And I was like, hell yeah, I'll go get my list. Grab my list, and that. But for 6 months, I mean, you got to think about it. I made millions. Then I got my list back, so I was able to do that. So people didn't hear from me forever. For a while, I had to go build hard, made millions, and then went back, got my list back. So then it gave me a big another boost that next year. The thing is, social media. Like, I mean, I guess there's a Twitter storm. Things today. I've lost some weight since then. But yeah. I got off my ass and actually started walking and actually doing the shit you're supposed to do and eating right. and I didn't take any magic pills. But the fact is, a lot of people are beating the shit out of me on the internet because I'm doing what today people are doing. However, because the first guy goes gets shot, usually in the marketplace. So don't be this guy. This guy right here sends me an email. I'm a big fan of yours. In fact, you're one of the people that got me inspired into this. I am, and thank you. Now it's time for me to return the favor. I want you to promote my shit. Are you fucking serious? Like, I've got to go. You want to contact me and tell me I helped you. That's fine. But my way of paying you back for me helping you is to promote your shit. Like, maybe you should go promote my shit as my way of help, to pay me back for how you helped me. Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, why would you do this? That's stupid. Like, don't do that. Or don't be this guy. I've been in marketing for years, fan years, and in return for all the marketing and guests you offered, I would love to further solidify your reputation as someone who offers nothing but exceptional value to your email list. Promote my shit. Are you fucking serious? Dude, seriously? Like, don't do that shit. Don't. That's stupid. Seriously? Like, God. Don't do that shit. So, that's dumb. Anyway, but 30, you know, this is another one. If you don't have relationships, especially if you're doing a launch or something like that, if you don't have relationships, all you have is EPC. Most people don't realize that, but if you don't have relationships, all you have is EPC. This guy is really brilliant what he did. Sometimes he gives 100% away on everything and eats all the costs. He said, buyer email is worth it. Trust me. He says, once you have that buyer, you can treat them right. You have a customer for life. An example would be I have a launch, no contest. I pay 100% of the front end, 100% of the first OTO, 100% of the next OTO, 100% of the downsell, 100% of the OTO 2. I mean, pretty brilliant way for a new guy to get started to make things happen. Like, just give and you shall receive. I mean, it's pretty like a law in the world. So the same thing, that's what happens. The first product, the guy's coming out with another one. I thought it was really good what he said. Tip number 31, three main reasons why people promote: money, power, and respect. No numbers means no business. Numbers don't lie, they tell stories. Now, I don't know anybody like you, but you know, I've sent many emails in my life. I mean, actually, I've sent 2.1 million emails. After I went from nothing, built it all up within less than 2 years, I built up about 2.1 million subscribers when I started from scratch all over again after the apocalypse. And I used to send 2 emails a day. A lot of the emails that actually people get these days, if you really pay attention, they're actually, and a lot of people actually steal my emails because they know I split test and nobody else, or everybody else is a lazy bastard, they don't test. So just stare at the out of 17,768 campaigns. You can go in there and kind of see the best days to mail. Like Friday is a really good day to mail for deliverability. Is a really good day to mail, but I mail every day. But anyway, that's the, I mean, one thing to think on there. I think that's 88%, the highest. And then you can go in there for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are really good days for deliverability on there. The best time to send emails, basically, just to give you a general idea, 93. So it's 2 to 4. And these are in Eastern Standard Time, just so you know. And then 18... So that's 6 o'clock, 6 to 8 o'clock are really good times to mail. And actually, well, actually, I would say 14 o'clock to 18 o'clock, whatever that number is. So that's 2 o'clock to 6 o'clock are really good times to mail, which has the highest deliverability during that time. So just to kind of give you a general idea on there. Now, this is one thing most people don't realize. Kind of just actually solidify what Sean said. Now, this out of 17,781 emails. It's a lot of emails if you kind of figure that out. Basically, if you look at somebody that mails once, your deliverability is really low. If somebody mails more periodically, more occasionally, like every so often, it increases the deliverability rate. And if they mail a lot more often, like Sean says, mail every single day, just so you know, mailing on every single day actually a lot of times can increase your deliverability rates. So a lot of people kind of, they're looking at different factors, but that's one thing to think about. If you have a big lead flow, especially if you have lead flow, to me it's like, it's you know, you got to look at, you know, a lot of people, I don't look at unsubscribers, I don't care about unsubscribers, so I'm just looking at my click line. As long as I'm always increasing my click line, that's what matters the most. So that's something to think about there. The real scoreboard is your bank account. Bottom line, I look at business as a game, and the game to win the game, you got to have a bigger bank account. That's the bottom line. Whether it's your business bank account or your personal bank account, that's the way you win the game. If you look in your bank account, there's $0, then you're losing the game. It's pretty simple. If you're negative, then you're really losing the game. So you're actually really sucking. So from there, the numbers you focus on always increase. Really good thing to think about. So if you're focusing on certain numbers, you notice all I do is focus on numbers. Whatever you focus on always increases. So if you focus on, I tell people this all the time, you guys going out buying solos, you look at and you're focusing on the unsubscribers, you're going to get more. Like, so don't focus on that shit. Like, focus on clicks. Focus on, you know, how many subscribers you're getting, how many clicks. Focus on that number. Whatever numbers, like what I notice is if I actually get reports, when I get reports, I want the reports of the good numbers I want to pay attention to. You know, because my business and my life is a mere reflection of me. I know that, and it's the mere reflection of the things that I'm staring at and looking at. So same thing, just focus on the good numbers, the numbers from there. If you can't create a future if you're clinging on to the past. You know, it's like, you know, I had to get over my shit. You know, I couldn't. I didn't have time to deal with that whole thing. It took me 2 years to finally realize that what just happened to me, because I had to run as fast as I could because I actually had a lot of expenses. Actually, it was costing about, you know, I mean, just for me to live, that's no, like, just for me to live my life was like $300,000 a year just on my personal, not on my business side. When you take all my business stuff away, I still had $300,000 a month, or a year, I'm sorry, for me to live. I think it was something like that when you take away all my other expenses, but my houses and everything else. So, you know, you can't cling on the past. You can't create a future if you cling on the past. This is one really important, that's why I focused on solo ads. is probably this. If you have to rely on JVs and launches, you don't have a business. I truly believe that. That's how I changed Russell Brunson. That's, I mean, his whole thing was. His big thing in his business was that. I'll just share with you one thing right here. And I want to show you guys something actually interesting about the ClickLine, because the ClickLine was actually discovered a different way. It was actually discovered because I used to run 40. I had 40. Actually, at the time before the apocalypse, I ended up having, I had 200 sales guys down in Florida. I had the reason I had my plane, I had a pilot that worked for me full time. And actually, anytime I wanted to get in a plane and fly, I just went into my plane. My kids, my daughter, you know, my daughter was in my plane. My son was born right when it happened. So, like, now I look, you know, it's like those years ago, but he's six now. So it was right when he was a baby, because we had to send my nanny out of the room while the people are sitting and talking to my wife and I. But but basically, this right here is actually a mirror reflection of my salespeople. The salespeople, I had three different types of salespeople. Actually, think about this and think about internet marketers, same thing. Actually, what you don't realize is this can be represent a lot of things, what I just showed you. This was my guy. I don't know if you guys ever heard of Devon Brown. Devon actually was my guy. The reason why Devon is actually in the internet market, because the apocalypse came and I had to get rid of all my people. You guys know Jason Parker? He used to work for me. I ended up having to let him go. Why? Because the apocalypse came. I didn't tell anybody in my office. I had to walk in and fire everybody overnight. The market now is full of my old employees, so which nobody really realized. What, I mean, not more of them. Actually, I'll give you another one. Frank Kern has a guy that ran his sales floor, which his name was ran his sales floor. He's out there teaching people how to sell big ticket stuff. Actually, he was my sales manager. I can't think of the guy's name at this moment for some reason. Kevin Nations was my guy. He went out in the world. Had to let him go. So what most people don't realize, this community is like, it's crazy what's really going on. So, but the fact is, this was my sales team, my true sales team. This was actually Devon when he worked for me. He would go, he would sell like hell, he would make a lot of money, and then the next month he would get poor. I mean, the next month he would spend it all, he would get poor, he wouldn't sell at all. Then when he got poor, he sold a lot, and then he would go out, spend all his money. Does that look like a launcher? Yes. That's why launchers launch, because they have no money. The reason why most launchers launch, most guys in the market, why they launch is because they're piss poor, because they spent it all. They put it up their nose. They went to whatever they did with all their money. They gave it to women or whatever. But there's a lot of shit most people don't know about. That's some guys. That's a lot of launchers. That's what they do. Then you have other guys that get in the market. They die off. It's a lot of newbies. And then you have the people in my office, they get in. Actually, if they don't sell within the first 2 weeks, I fire them. And then you have other guys that were married, had responsibility, had everything, had to hit a certain nut or a certain thing they had to do every single month, and they consistently hit their numbers. That's where it originally came from. But you can actually go and look at people online. There's certain people that are okay. And actually, there's a third line, which really happens in IM business and in my sales business, which was the other line, which actually goes like this. I really haven't found a relationship with clickers that way, but it's the other guy that gets in the market and just keeps on taking off and taking off and taking off. There were guys that got in my office and they just, you know, they kept on hitting numbers every single month. But this was actually really built off my sales model of my office. A lot of the guys that run the sales things, like, you know, the free CDs online where you buy it, you get it, free shipping and handling, like, everybody ripped off all my shit and started teaching it. Like, I was the one first guy to bring it into the marketplace years ago. And the reason people don't know the purpose of half the shit on the internet. That's why I said, nothing you know is true. Everybody's already bastardized the whole thing. Most of the guys that steal shit, they don't know the real purpose of shit that they stole, so they've changed it all up. That's why I say question everything. Don't listen to anything anybody said. The guys that know the truth, or, you know, the guys that know the truth could come in and destroy them at any moment because they forgot. When you, one guy was in I'm in Chris Munch's mastermind. One guy wrote up to me, and Skype mastermind, actually. I do get in there for their talk. And one guy said to me, he goes, "Matt, I don't understand. How are you doing so well on these WSOs? I said, "Look, there's a difference between regurgitation and innovation." I said, "You just regurgitate shit we've probably said 10 years ago." You know, it's like, you know, when you're the creator or the innovator of some of the stuff and you innovate stuff, then, you know, that's the thing. You've got, I mean, the ones that are going to win in the end are the ones that innovate. And you've got to innovate the marketplace. And a lot of lack of innovation has been in there, you know, so from there. So you got to be self-sufficient. Question everything. There it is right there. It's question everything. See, I mean, I don't even need to actually show you these things. Question everything. Question everything. I don't care what anybody says. I question all. Get out of your own way. One of the biggest things that I see a lot of people do is they're in their own way of success. They're arguing with success. They're arguing with, like, everybody. Like, God, there's so many, like, what people don't realize, like, I swear to you, this market, you guys don't see it, but it's like so, if you can look through my eyes at things, it's a different world. I look at spotlights are shining at me all the time. When somebody clicks, they raise their hand. It's like they're putting the spotlight in. When somebody, you know, when I go look at sales letters, when I write email copy, it's really freaking simple. People put spotlights on their headlines. They put spotlights on their subheadlines. I just gank their subject lines, their headlines, and you know, I mean, you can see these spotlights all over the internet, and it makes life easier. Everybody makes it so hard, and they got to think. It's like, you know, they try to create original thoughts on different things, and it's like affiliate marketing, writing emails is easy. Just go look at the headlines they wrote, take the copy, just put it in there. They spent more time on their headline than they did anything else. Why not use that? The best subject lines in the world, you want to know what they are, really are? Many times, the name of the damn product. Just take the name of the product, put it in there. If you're too lazy to test, just take the name of the product, put it in there. And then you go grab the headline, you put it in there, and you rewrite it a little bit so it matches you and say, click here, and then buy. It's easy. I mean, really, that's how simple it is to really do this game. People don't realize, like, people are in their own way and they want to recreate the wheel. I'm not God, nor are you. A lot of people, they get big in this business, their head gets strong, you know, they whatever, they think that they're God. I'll tell you, as soon as you think you're God, somebody's going to come and knock your life out from underneath you. I swear to God, I mean, I made $30 million that year. I thought I was the fucking shit until the next day, you know, and then, you know what you guys don't know? When they came to my house, was 2 weeks before Christmas. Now, when he walks out my door, the guy says to me, which wasn't part of the story, he turns around, he says that shit to me, and he says, oh, by the way, have a Merry Christmas, and walks out. You do not think I love my fucking government. I hated them for 2 years. I wanted to kill every one of them. I hated everybody. I hated you. I hated the world. I didn't know how that something I sacrificed the last 10 years of my life to build was taken away from me, because I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I built my way there, and it was stolen, and it was taken away from me, and I had to go back and rebuild, and it was like I knew how hard it was to build the first 10. But the one good thing I learned about it is you can take everything away from me except for my mind, and I can get it back. So, but I'm not God, nor are you. When you start believing you're God, your world will be taken away. So watch it from there. Selling to countries where the currency is stronger than the U.S. dollar. That's what people forget about. Like, if you're going to pick countries to go to, you want to find countries that are at. Because it's going to be really hard to do it against the pound. There's not many countries. But if you take the U.S. dollar and you find places, if you find countries that are at, equal to, or above the U.S. dollar, they're the best markets to get into. If you go to countries that are less, that's why actually I didn't put Singapore on the thing, because it is less. Because, you know, that's one thing to know. That's one thing I've learned over the years from there. Big thing on that. Know the lifetime value of your customer. If you are selling stuff, understand the lifetime value of your customer. People forget this, but you've got to know that number. If you don't know how much a customer is worth, then what good is it? You know, if you don't know your numbers, is really important too. If some asshole talks shit about you, kill him with kindness. You know, there's a guy out there, some of you guys might know him, his name is Salty Droid. Yep. Well, if you know Salty Droid, I don't know if you know the real story, but I started him. Salty Droid's first post was about me. Actually, I was in Ireland starting the first internet marketing seminar in Ireland. I was speaking. A guy named Kirk Christian is right next to me. This weird guy starts talking shit to me on the internet over Twitter. And he said something to me. I wrote back to him, and I said, man, I just didn't like the way he was abusing me. So I shut him off. I said, you know, not allowed to speak to me. All of a sudden, his post goes up. He starts talking about it, and then he started focusing on my friends. But if you actually read the whole story, you all notice the first post ever done, he started beating the shit out of me. The reason is, because I'll tell you one thing, is, you know what? I love him. He's the most amazing guy in the world. I really do. I told him that. He hit me up one time. I said, I love you. You are so amazing. He hit me up, said something else. I said, I love you. I just love you. He hit me up, said something else. I said, I love you. I just love you. He's like, I said, man, I really do. You're so amazing. You know, and I found good qualities in the guy. I just kept on telling him I love him. He hates talking to me because I love him. I love you. I want to give him a hug. Like, come talk to me, man. I'll give you a hug. He can't stand it because he's built on hate. And when you give somebody love, man, they don't like it, especially when they build on hate. So, but I'm telling you, anybody that starts talking shit about you, just love them, man. Just tell them you love them. Just so, like, seriously, don't fight them. Just love them. Seriously, it's funny as shit when you do it. But I do really love them. I really do think of ways to love them. It's hard, but I do sometimes. Your highest investment, you guys know the guy named, Ted Nicholas, the $10 billion man. Ted's a good friend of mine. I've actually been to his house when he was living in Switzerland. He actually is over in Cyprus now. But Ted and I was in Ted's mastermind. And let me just tell you something that I learned in Ted's mastermind. Dan Kenny and I are really good friends too. Actually, what I ended up doing for those couple of years, I spent a lot more time with Dan and Ted, and because I figured let me spend some more time with them while I'm kind of away and before they actually croak. it's true. But Ted said something to me which was actually really cool. He's like, one of the biggest things, especially when you start making a lot of money online, the biggest problem most people have is they go and blow it all. And, you know, Ted said something. He said, you know, the best investment you can ever make, he goes, I only spend 5 minutes a year on my investments. It's like, are you serious? He's like, yeah. He said, if I spend more than 5 minutes a year on my investments, I don't invest in crazy risky stocks and all that other stuff. He goes, I invest in things I understand and I know. He said, because I only want to spend 5 minutes a year looking at my investments. And so he said, like, that's why he buys gold. He was buying silver before all the whole, you know, everybody was on the bandwagon buying all it. He was buying gold and silver. He understood it. He goes, I understand gold. I understand silver. I got a whole, you know, closet full of it, you know. But he understood it. So I went out and started buying trees. I own land because I actually have tree farms. I understand trees. Trees grow up. I don't have to take care of them. I only go buy it. My son and I go pick up, you know, some assholes go out through my land on their four-wheelers or their ATVs or quads or whatever you guys call them here. You know, and they go through there, they leave their shit. My son and I go out there, pick it up. But I own trees, you know, and actually I have every set of trees. I go in, I bring in people. We actually, you know, cut the trees and, you know, I make money from trees. I mean, sell it to paper mills. I replant. We actually, you know, take care of the whole thing. And so I understand trees. I don't have to think about it. Once a year I call people. I know how many truckloads are coming out of there. I know how much a truckload's worth. It's really simple. How much is the price of pulp? How much is the price of this? Then I know if I do a cut, it's easy. So I invest my money into, everybody knows I buy all this land, but the fact is people don't really realize what I'm doing is I'm buying trees. And actually what people really don't know is all my trees are lined up for every one of my kids. I got three kids. All my kids that I have each cut is going to be ready for the time they graduate from school so that they can go to university. So it's pretty simple. Like, it's done. And actually I have another one set for one of my kids getting married. So I know that'll happen too. But the fact is, your highest risk investment should be in your business. We're taking the biggest risk in business. That is your highest risk. And so invest your highest risk investments into your business from there. Your business, your life is a mirror reflection of you. It's really important to get that, but it truly is. When you look in the mirror, that's the answer. I mean, you know, when you're wondering why everybody in your office is making mistakes, well, maybe you got to look at yourself and see what the heck, what's going on with you, because it's probably a mirror reflection of you from there. Oh, and then I said it was 47 tips. So actually for this one, I actually didn't have a tip. So I actually said use odd numbers when giving tips, because people love numbers and they actually love odd ones. So they actually react more towards odd ones because I want to get to the 47th, because I didn't want to have 46 tips. I wanted 47. 47 tips is this, which gives you the answer to the whole video picture, is use these tips and you will make a lot of money no matter, actually this isn't the real tip, but no matter what any poor person, per person says, more money means more sex, so don't get crabs. I'm just joking, that's really not the purpose, that's not really tip number 47, but it's true, all right? So here's the real thing is this, beware that this is the true thing. I mean, this is one, beware of the crab in the bucket syndrome. And basically what it is this, it said, when a single crab is put in the lidless bucket, what happens is they can and will escape. But if you go, however, when more than one share a bucket, none of them can they get out. They all pull each other back down. So if one crab elevates himself above another, and all other crabs, all the other crabs will grab this crab and drag them back down to share the same mutual fate, and of the rest of the group. The reason I bring that up is because crab in the bucket syndrome is often described social situations where one person is trying to better themselves than the others, and the community attempts to pull them back down. And this is really important to actually understand, because some people are like, well, this is a newbie thought. No, it's not. You know, the moment you decide, and I will tell you, I'm on a run to $100 million. Like, I've never done it. I've done $20 million. One of my companies did over $20 million in 1 year. I've never done $100 million in 1 year. And my goal was, I thought I was running to $100 million back then. All that stuff was taken away. I'm in position now to run for $100 million. Everybody around me is like, oh, no, I can't, you know, whatever. They can't think outside of freaking $10 million. Internet marketing community has never really seen that many $10 million people in the internet marketing community. There's not many in there. Actually, there's probably a few, not if there is any. So the fact of the matter is, I actually don't play just the game. I actually own, I have other worlds I play in outside of the internet marketing community, which most people don't realize. But the fact is, we're on a run to a $100 million company. And, you know, building up from there. But you got to realize wherever you're at. So if you're making $100,000 a year, you know, there's people around you. The reason why you keep on getting pulled back to $100,000 a year is because everybody around you keeps on pulling you back to it. I mean, why did I move in the neighborhood when I found out that I was doing $3 million, Sean was doing $10 million? You know, who knew our neighbors are? I swear to God. One of our neighbors, Sean and I have a neighbor, actually have tons of neighbors in our neighborhood. One of our neighbors, we actually thought was actually in the mob. Come to find out, every day he would have a new, like, Rolls Royce. He had a Maserati. He had this. And we're like, God, this guy must be in the mob. Don't know why we had a negative thought about somebody that's rich, which is stupid, but it was, like, our little shit. And so come to find out, the guy was really printing money, but not really printing money, like, in a bad way, because we actually did have one of our neighbors that got in trouble for printing money in his basement. But it wasn't that guy. This is the guy that actually invented the ink on the U.S. dollar. I was like, no shit, he's fucking printing money. The government's, you know, pushing out there. Another, you know, you guys know Velcro or Ziploc or whatever I think it is? I think it's the Velcro or Ziploc, I can't remember, but that's one of our neighbors. Like, we live in a neighborhood, like, these guys are like, I mean, I'm talking like, I went outside my house, and one of the guys that was talking, he's like, I said, what are you doing home? I'm always at home. But I said, I never see you home. He goes, oh, yeah, I just sold my company. I was like, for what? Oh, I just sold it for $100 million. Fucking serious? Like, shit, I'm sitting in my basement. You know, it's like, I mean, dude, what the hell you do? And he told me some stuff. He was like, it was funny. He actually gave me some really good advice. He goes, this is the way I look at everything. You know, this. I was like, damn. He goes, I look at it as, a, you know, in American football. He said, I actually run an American football team. He doesn't really run one. But he said, I look at it as American football team because I'm the coach on the sidelines. I put my quarterback in. I do this. And this is how I play the game. You know, I just put the right people in the right places. I put them in the right positions. And then I go. I was like, I just have the right team. We execute really fast. We fail really fast. I'm like, fuck. Seriously? You know, it's like, okay, really cool. You know, it's like, you know, having this kind of conversation with people, I mean, you never know what the conversations happen in our country club, because we're actually in Atlanta. We're actually, there's new money in our neighborhood. There's old money in another neighborhood. We're like the new money, I mean, of all Atlanta. We're the richest neighborhood in Atlanta. And, you know, it's amazing, but when you're around people like that, it really makes you think differently and everything else. So that's one thing to think about. You know, when it comes from here. I mean, Sean's got freaking elevators in his house. I mean, actually, that was his, like, downstairs basement that you guys saw where his office is. Like, I don't know if you saw that picture. Like, that's his, like, downstairs. I mean, he's got marble everywhere, but he's got, like, freaking columns. I mean, Sean's, like, I was like, I'm the poor guy in the neighborhood. You know, I joke around. I'm really not, but I joke around. It's like, I didn't go in. I don't need the class. I mean, I moved into the neighborhood. I don't need to go show off in the neighborhood. Sean doesn't need to show off either. He doesn't, but... because he's actually got an even smaller house. Mine's probably smaller, but, I mean, there's guys in there. It's fucking crazy. But the fact is, I mean, that's on there. But the fact is, just something to think about. Those are some tips on there. Now to get you guys to one real thing before we go is the one last thing that I really wanted to share with you guys is we already talked about understanding compound interest, which I actually did in the other thing. So we don't really have to hit on it, or I'm not going to hit on it. But to bring us back, you know, we already talked about what happens when penny doubles every single day, and I said I was going to allude to this. Basically, it's like starting a rocket ship. Here's my personal plan. You understand compounding interest. It means, like, you're doing it. Now, just imagine, the biggest problem most people have is when they go make money online, they go spend that money, and they don't reinvest the money back in the business. I made that point. Now, imagine, which I can do, and some of you guys might be able to do, but imagine that you go out, you buy SoloAds. My business is built on SoloAds, I swear to you. All I do is buy SoloAds, nothing else. I have really no other traffic strategy that I personally focus on and bring subscribers into my business. So all the data you're going to see is on SoloAds. Also, I've mailed enough. You got to understand over the last four years, for 2 years, I mailed 2.1 million subscribers for 2 years, twice a day. It's a lot of email data. I also mailed affiliate offers. I know my average EPC if I go back and calculate it. We have all these numbers in my office. I'm very big on numbers. So I know my average EPC. My average EPC across the board is 51 cents. If we mail an offer, my average EPC across the board for the last 4 years is 51 cents. Now, there are offers. I just mailed one the other day. It was a $4 EPC. But if you average it out, and when I talk about EPC, EPC is fucked up. A lot of guys will screw with the number EPC. They'll say, you know, if you mail somebody's video like five times and then you mail their sales letter, you have to count every time you mail to actually equal the EPC, just so you know. People are screwing with these Drew EPC numbers, because that would be bullshit. They're actually mailed a video to learn. You've got to calculate it in there. People screw around with their EPCs on their freaking webinars, too. If I mail for your offer five times, you don't count how many people, you know, on. They don't know where they get their EPC numbers on their calls. But EPC to me is, if I mail your webinar and I count the clicks that I send to your page to sign up every single time, that gives EPC. Just, you know, mine are real EPC, not bullshit EPC. Internet marketing math is really fucked up. It's actually not real. Internet marketing math, just so you guys know, and you got to be careful too. That's why I said nothing's true, everything's permitted, especially on the internet. Like, don't believe these fuckers. There, a lot of the guys are lying. Here's how they do it. Internet marketing math. Oh, and I know, internet marketing math. Well, we're going to charge people $100 a month times for 12 months. And then we're going to say for 12 months. So now we did a $1 million launch. We got 1,000 people giving us $100 a month for 12 months. Therefore, I did a $1 million launch. You fucking serious? No, you didn't. You just ran 100 times 1,000. What is that? 100,000. You made $100,000. You gave $50,000 away from your affiliates. That's called $50,000, dude. Okay? So, like, just so you know, like, quit reading the bullshit. Like, it's all misdirection. It's all, like, I mean, this market, I mean, just realize it's all bullshit. Like, you've got to look at the real reality of things. So, the fact of the matter is, I'm just going to tell you, these are my real, real, real fucking numbers after, like, literally, when I say 51 cents, that's real. Like, after 4 years looking at all my affiliate data and everything else. It doesn't include product launches. But let's just imagine that you can go and you can go in. Now, I actually figured out my average, and I'm going on low numbers. I actually get better numbers than this. But if my opt-in page is converting at 30% on average, which actually is pretty, if you go look at my numbers, it's actually below average, but I'm going to use that as an average. If my average click rate to my list is 2%, which actually is low, lower than mine, I'm actually at 1% lower than my average click-through rate across the board. From there, I'm actually going on my average EPC being 51 cents, how much I make per mailing, how much I make per week, how much I make for there. Now, if I go and buy solo ads for average of 50 cents a click, and that means two clicks, and actually broken it down and figured the whole thing out, every two clicks gets me 0.6 subscribers, would be true based upon this. Actually, this is very conservative numbers because actually I get better than 30%, and actually, but I try to keep this conservative mark. If you understand what I showed you guys with that numbers actually break down over to here, and we're actually going, these numbers are actually low. If we take my average, and now I'm looking for affiliate commission. Remember I showed you guys my OTO process? My OTO process, I acted as if I was an affiliate for my OTO process. I didn't act as if I am. So you could double my immediate earnings. That means as soon as I buy, somebody opts in, you actually do that. That means I would make, instead of 37 cents, I would go, actually, it's supposed to be 37, so that's actually low. But, no, that's right. Yeah. However she did the math. But it's 37 cents multiplied by 2 actually would be, what I'm saying is my numbers are low. All right, so I wanted to show you. If I took, and for me this is how I look at big numbers. I also took in attrition, means unsubscribes and everything else. But if I invested $100,000 today, what I'm saying is $100,000 today, I get $100,000 worth of solo buys today, and I go out and I buy solos, buy solos, buy solos, buy solos, and I keep on buying solos, and I buy $100,000 worth of solos. They come in through my opt-in page. They opt in. They get on my list. They go through this whole process. They get on my list. I mail them. That's what I'm talking per mailing when I push send, doing it. That means if I, for $100,000, that means every time I mail, I make $751. Doesn't sound really impressive, but let me tell you what this. Now, every week, on that $100,000, for every week, I would make $5,263. But per month, that would bring me to $22,551 a month. My immediate sales on $100,000 immediately. Now, remember, I'm using as if I'm an affiliate of my own product. So you could double those numbers. It would actually mean 54,000. I'd actually get half my money back instantly because of my OTO. Now, so because of this, I actually get half my money back. Plus, I got the list. Plus, I'm making the money on the mailing. Plus, I'm doing all this stuff. So what I'm saying is if I make this, all the money I make, if I take all the money I make today and put it back in and don't touch it, and then then next week I take all the money I make that week, put it back in and don't touch it, take all the money back in and put it back in, don't touch it. Do you guys get what I'm saying here? Now I'm allowing it to compound. This is where everybody screws up. They go online, they make some money, then they take that money. Oh, I made some money. Okay, let me go and spend my PayPal money or whatever the hell they got. All their money's gone. Now they have nothing else to reinvest back in. Imagine if you can be in a position where you don't have to worry about taking the money away. Let me show you how compounding insurance truly works. So, and this is the way I look at things, okay? So, and these are conservative for me. These are really conservative. I took this the lowest thing. So $100,000 investment, just to share with you, $100,000 investment for me, based upon all my personal numbers, just by buying solos, nothing else, no other traffic strategy, just by buying solos, I could, that $100,000 in 1 week, well, week two would turn into that, week three, four, five, six, reinvest back in, keep on going, seven, eight, nine. By the ninth week, by keep on reinvesting back in solos, everything that I did, back in solos, back in solos, back in solos, now I just doubled my money in 9 weeks. That means I sacrifice, I don't touch any money, I reinvest my money, and I keep on going with all the money I make, put it back in. All the money I make, put it back in. Now I just doubled my money. So let's just say, okay, I just doubled my money. Well, like, Matt's not happy with that much money. I want to slit my throat for that much money. So, but basically, if I said I can take a whole year, say, you know what, for one whole year, I'm going to set up one account, and I'm going to have this one account for this whole thing. I'm going to take it, and I'm just going to do it for one whole year. That $100,000 investment after one whole year, after 52 weeks, would turn into $2.4 million by reinvestment. Now, that's how I play the game. I mean, I'm honest. That's how I play. I mean, I take it, reinvest it back in. Take it, reinvest it back in. The question is, you know, that's one thing to think about because I understand the power of compounding interest. I understand I can take that money compound and imagine the list that I have and the power that I have at that moment and all the extra side power that I have that make it happen because that doesn't include all the bonuses I win in affiliate contests. That doesn't include all the other things and all the pent-up love that I'm going to get back from, and this is actually mailing affiliate offers, not my own shit, just so you know. That's pure affiliate marketing. Nobody, not my own shit. Now, if I actually said, oh, screw it, screw mailing anybody else, now I'm going to go mail my own shit, guess what? I just doubled my EPCs probably. Now I'm going to double that money instantly by doing the same thing. So now I turned $2.4 million into $4.8 million. And honestly, it's pretty realistic what I'm showing here. And even if I'm half wrong, I'm still 100% right. Even if I'm 80% wrong, I'm still 100% right. And that's the way I look at the game. And that's how I play. So, but see, with me, I go big. You know, you could take the same thing. You could actually take one zero off, and you can say, if I can invest $10,000 and play that way, you know, you turn $10,000 into $240,000, sorry. You know?
So,
You've got to have law of large numbers at your side too. Remember, I was pushing that because at $100, you're not going to be able to. It won't make sense at $100.
No,
you've
got
to keep.
Have $100,000 to do that.
No, you could probably. There is a breaking point where you have to have large numbers to actually initiate it, and it might be $10,000. I don't know. I'm only playing. I mean, I look at $100. It's hard for me to talk about pennies, but I do. I look at pennies, but it's hard. So, I mean, just to give you a clear understanding, this is my plan. So let me just tell you something about the game. Just one thing to guys to know. So let me share this to you. And I actually belong to some investment groups where basically the guys that I hang out with now, because, you know, of course, I want to get around people that make $100 million. One of my friends just raised, like, you know, $60 billion of capital. Like, these are the guys I'm hanging out with now. So they kind of gave me an idea. They said, Matt, if you can really pull these numbers off, why don't you just, like, you know, get people to loan you money? So I've got people handing me $100,000 increments, and I'm paying them 3% a month on the money. I said, I'll give you 3%. I mean, I'm saying this to you guys, seriously. If you guys have the money in your IRAs or whatever, and I'll get my attorney, I'll write up a thing, I'll personally guarantee it, I'll pay you 3% a month. if you want 3% a month on your money back and you want a secured investment, I'll guarantee it and pay you back. I do it 6 months. Now what I'm doing is I'm raising capital. I'm raising capital to play the game, because one thing I learned is the fact is I can't trust anybody else to play the game the way I know it, because I tried to get people to do it and they're lazy bastards. They don't do shit. So if I'm going to do it, fuck it. I'll do it myself. So I'm raising capital to play the game. And so, you know, that's one play that I have that I'm actually moving to, where I'm, you know, raising capital. If anybody's interested, just talk to me. I'll get my attorney to draft up the message. We'll go back and forth on our agreement. I do 6 months and 1 year. I have to do it in 6 months and 1 year. I'll pay you back three percent a month. 3% a month guaranteed by me. So you can't do that in the stock market. People are literally handing me checks to do this with me. What I'm trying to say is another thing is, if you think outside the box, if you can't get money to play this game, you actually can if you actually think outside the box, especially if you know your numbers. It's really easy to play the game when you know your numbers. So I can get raised capital all day long. And that's why I don't need to go over there. Like, it doesn't make sense. I can go make a whopping, you know, whatever. But whatever, I don't care anymore. So I'd rather work with people that actually are willing to actually do shit, and you guys are them. I'm not pitching you guys on this. I'm just telling you, if anybody is interested, look, I'll do that for you, no problem. I'll take your money, I'll turn it into a lot of cash, and you can get 3% back. The other thing is, I wanted to say, this is not pitching. I do manage people's accounts. And I'll just be clear, nothing like Sean talks about, and this isn't, I mean, just going to tell you, I don't play the game like Sean. I only manage here, where I will split test your I don't want to deal with your back end. I don't want to have anything to do with it. But if you want somebody to manage your solo buys and stuff like that, let me know. Like, you know, contact my office. You guys got my email. Just contact my office and say, hey, I'm willing to, you know, I want Matt to deal with it. But let me just be clear, I don't deal with low numbers. I deal with big numbers. So if you want to play big, then I will, you know, manage your account. I am a higher premium price than what you'll probably see with some of the people. Just to let you guys know, I am not, I don't want you guys to feel any, I just want you guys to see, this is, if you guys are ever interested, you get to the point, you want somebody to do this shit for you, I'll do it. I actually enjoy split testing. I don't know if you know it, but I actually love it. It's the best, I love it. I love playing with it. And, you know, so maybe the apocalypse actually brought something out of me that I never thought knew I had, but I love it, because I turn it into a game. But if anybody's looking for large traffic buys, just so you know, this is what I do. This is my pricing. Just so you know, I don't do anything underneath 10,000 clicks. I could do a 10,000, 25,000, 50,000, 75,000, 80,000, 100,000 click orders. That's all I take. So at that point, all I do is manage your opt-in page. What I'm going to do, and I will tell you, I'm arbitraging it. I'm not doing this myself. I'm arbitraging. I make a little money in the middle. I'm just going to say, like, be open and clear. I make a little money in the middle. Not making much. I'm collecting a lot of pennies. I'm collecting pennies is what I'm doing. However, the one thing if you do have me do it, you give me your opt-in page. I'm not writing it from scratch. Give me your opt-in page, and I guarantee you I'm going to fucking beat you. So, my goal is to beat you, and I'm actually going to go in, and I'm going to rate and grade the traffic, and that's why I need at least get 10,000, because I'm going to have different traffic sources that are going to come in. I'm going to pick that traffic source. I'm going to find the best traffic sources for you. So I'm going to be testing all these different traffic sources, and then I'll find the best one, and I'm going to go really, really hard with them. So it's going to be trickle, 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 and all of a sudden you're going to be like, a shit ton's going to come in. And I'll give you an example. There's some people that I do work with, and this is, like, I don't have order forms for this. I'm just telling you, you have to go through my office. Like, this is, say, hey, look, I want Matt to buy traffic for me. Let me go look at your stuff. I will buy for you, because I actually am doing this for some people right now, just to kind of give you a general idea of some of the people that I do work with. And actually, there's a bunch of them. Here's one guy that I worked with last month. His account, you know, just to share with you guys, we kind of look in here. If we go in, he's not doing anything right now because I'm not buying for him. But just last month alone, I brought him in 21,690 subscribers. And I managed his thing. I got his opt-in page. When he gave it to me, it was at 36%, and I got it to 52%. So what you're actually buying is me split testing and taking your shit to a whole nother level. So now when you go back, and that's what I tell people. It's like, look, you can either, I could be your bitch for a little while, do this, you know, and then let me hand it back to you. Then you go back and play. But let me, you know, I'll touch it for you. That's why I'm not going to play the low end of the game. I'm playing a little the higher end, but I'm actually split testing, front end only. I'm not dealing with your back end. That's yours. But what I'm doing is, I will beat whatever page you give me. Like, opt-in page, I will beat it. Like, that's what you're getting out of me. And I will manage it. Like, I look at it every day, except when I'm flying. I can't look at it, but I will deal with that. you know, deal with that. So that's him. That was last month. I mean, basically, actually, all that was last month. He probably got some this month. I think we ended up finishing his order, so he got like 9,000 this month. Here's another one, lady that I'm working with actually right now. She's doing a traffic buy with me. She's still in the middle of it, so she's got subscribers. I don't know where it's at. She's in Belgium, I believe. Let's go over here. There she is. And I log into your accounts, and I'm really managing. I'm putting up split tests. I'm looking at all the data. So she got 340 today. Yesterday she got 540. Last 7 days she got 5,000 from there, 5,343. This month she got 11,000 people. Last month she got 6,000, whatever. We just started working last month together. So, I mean, what I'm saying is, like, I could deliver a lot. I mean, I'll manage the whole thing and just, you know, play it. So, anyway, that's all I'm really going to talk about this. But, I mean, I really do this for people. I buy big buys. The reason I can't go low, I don't want to go lower. One, it's a waste of my time. I don't want to deal with somebody underneath 10,000 clicks. I really didn't want to deal with 10,000 clicks. Because when I buy in 20,000 lots. So I've got to divide a 10,000 click in two different people. But I do have some that I can actually divide up. And then I go and do it, and I manage your traffic. I'm looking for the quality of the traffic. I'm dealing with that. And then after it's done, you'll have a freaking killer opt-in page because I'll beat you. I mean, it's not that I beat you. I just got different eyes, you know, and I'm going to look at it from a different way, and I have a lot of test data and everything else. So anyway, if anybody's interested in that, just contact my office, or maybe you guys talk to me about that. But really, I mean, that's it. I mean, this is it. If anybody's interested, like I said, those are my things. And that's it, guys. I want to just tell you guys thank you very much. If you guys have any questions, I gotta get out. It's really friggin' hot. So, anyway, hopefully you guys got some stuff out of today. Hopefully you felt your day was worth it. I'm gonna send you. Yep. So I'm gonna send you that in the mail. I promised you. So everybody in here did promise they're not gonna give it away, but I'll give you guys that. It'll give you a good.